This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. Today, a special kind of journey. Well over a year ago, we received an email from a woman we didn't really know well, but Julie and her husband David were fans of our theater when we were in Philadelphia, and it was great to see a familiar name. In the email, she said that David had been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and she needed somehow to share her experience of being a caregiver to the man she loved and who was dying. I suggested that she write a journal and we might somehow use it on the air. She did. She sent us some installments. She also wrote some articles. We decided, with her permission, to fictionalize the story somewhat, but stay true to the core. This is Outside the Dying.
I'm walking in a dark tunnel, carrying my husband. I can see stars. Faint. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm bandaging a gaping wound. In me. The heart is cut. I don't have a bandage, just rags. Losing pieces of myself. I'm hanging in there.
It's not okay. He's going down. I hurt like hell.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Richard has this thing. ALS. I dreamed he had ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease, some baseball player or something with a disease. It was a terrible, terrible dream.
Hun.
Sally, hi. You got a minute? I needed to talk to somebody. Richard's been diagnosed. It's very bad.
And business as usual. I watch everyone going about their lives. I'm numb. Things aren't working. The computer's crashing. Extensions conflict. Nothing is working. That word. Fatal. In letters 3 feet high. It's really very frustrating to try to wake up, and for some reason I can't, because Richard is talking about living wills and power of attorney and advanced directives.
Well, I'm feeling just very tired all the time. Maybe I should get a checkup or a lube job. I don't know. It's like chronic fatigue syndrome.
I just want him back the way he was.
I'm sorry.
Let's see what I need to do. Come on. Think, Jennifer, you're a trained microbiologist. You're not some dummy who doesn't know diddly. You understand cause and effect. You understand the complexity of organic existence and the processes of life, one of which is death, with many styles to choose from. And you're perfectly aware that at some point in time this happens even to college graduates, and you know that it will happen to you, hopefully very suddenly, getting hit by a bus. And Richard will be very upset, but then will find a new life, but still visit your grave, and you'll hear him speak of his love.
It's just not working out that way. He's the one who's dying, and he's dying very slowly. And I'm trying to wake up, because if I don't wake up out of this nightmare, it's going to be very real.
Living wills, power of attorney, home modifications.
Just wake up. Did the alarm go off? Fatal. What's the matter with the damned alarm?
Fatal.
Nothing works.
Words.
Fatal. I want him back the way
Fatal.
He was.
I know.
Hello, Conrad and Elizabeth. I don't know if you remember, I used to be a regular attender at your performances in Philadelphia. And I'm sorry to tell you my husband Richard's been diagnosed with ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease this last year. And he's been severely disabled since then and getting worse. So that's why we haven't been to any plays or concerts since last spring.
Get him up, put on his neck brace, get him onto the toilet, get him into the shower seat, wash him, brush his teeth.
I want to write to you because I really need to write down something about what it's been like to be a caregiver to somebody you love. I don't have the time to write, I really don't, but I know how ignorant I was about just what was involved, physically and spiritually, and I want to share my knowledge with others who may go through that same journey.
Shave him, comb his hair, dress him, get him into the wheelchair, make coffee, tie a napkin round his neck, feed him, wash the dishes.
Well, I'll tell you, only on a spiritual plane can I see that this disease has any redeeming features. It's that the things that Richard and I used to argue about are no longer an issue. It was just all so stupid. Now we're just here with each other. We're much closer, waiting to be separated soon.
Get things ready for the nurse, get myself together, make the bed, hello to the nurse, kiss Richard, goodbye.
And I talk to people at church, and that's helped. They talk to me, they hold me. I want him to hold me and talk to me, but his muscles and words are gone. Very slowly, I'm a widow. We've never been apart more than 2 weeks in 32 years.
And the windshield is iced over and the wipers don't work.
Does this make sense to you?
Well, I went to the doctor in December.
In the winter.
I was tired.
He was tired.
I had problems getting my left leg to do what I wanted
it
to, and my left hand also.
And so he was
referred to a neurologist. One possible diagnosis was ALS. My mother had had the disease.
His family was ALS.
A preliminary diagnosis was made in February.
That preliminary diagnosis
confirmed April 11th.
On April 11th,
Jennifer was late coming home from a meeting.
And
I told her.
Found out about it after I came
devastated.
Home late. I was at a meeting and he told me.
She lay next to me saying she didn't want me
and
to die.
And then I lay down next to him and I just
said
told him
I
over and over that I didn't want him to die.
Over it.
And he said he didn't think that we could really call our own shots.
I tried to focus on love.
And
she called our boys,
the next day. So, I think I have to speak in first person present because it's all happened now, but I get confused on chronology. So, it's April, and Richard is diagnosed. He's starting to go downhill, and we read everything. We talk, we make a list. Should have made a list with just one word. Just breathe.
Yes, yes.
And there's a clinic. We find the money for that. And it's amazing the incredible hope people caring. 2 weeks of cleansing, nurturing, and a diet, and we meet people in remission. He's feeling so refreshed, and we can control this. We really can.
Yes, yes, yes.
In August, he takes a fall. Just sprains his ankle, but that's really the start. As if it's that little slip that lets the disease take hold. His speech starts to slur, breathing labored.
We just need... I sound like I'm drunk.
And the equipment starting to come. All that dandy equipment. The cane's been discarded, now it's the walker. The wheelchairs, a large converted van, a chair glide, adjustable bed and chair, grab bars, shower chair and commode, nebulizer, BiPAP. A Hoyer lift lies waiting in the wings.
And he falls and he can't get up, and thank heaven for the lift.
I think it's time to wake up. I really do. We feel closer, I think.
More distant.
My mom said, go ahead, cry, honey. It washes out the pain.
No, Mom, it doesn't.
Very close.
I can't follow him. The boys are grown, but still...
Well, 9/11 comes and goes, and all the news is saying that things will never be the same. Oh, hi, honey.
The boys
Thanks call,
and
I say how he feels. And they ask me how I am, and I change the subject. Your dad feels a little better today. Once I say, it's so wonderful to be home all weekend and be with him, and then on Monday it's such a relief to go back to work. Then I feel guilty for saying that. The other day I had to laugh out loud, he's being unfaithful to me. He's running off with God. Get him up, put on his neck brace, get him onto the toilet, get him into the shower seat, wash him, brush his teeth. I report on the new equipment and negotiations with the insurance company and working out my job situation. They have a problem with me missing work, so now I'm an hourly employee, which is basically better. I still get up at 6 in the morning, get out of here about 9, and then after work there's errands and errands. The nurses leave about 6:30, and these people from church come and stay with Richard till I get home, and then I take over. I'm just complaining. Okay, thanks for calling. Bye. Yes, we're churchgoers. Is that surprising for a scientist? I was raised in the New Church, which is Swedenborgian. Emanuel Swedenborg was a philosopher, 18th century. It's funny, Richard was an atheist when we met, but that changed over time. We believe marriage is for eternity. We believe there is actually sex after death. We believe that God does not permit evil unless good can come out of it. So obviously this is a great comfort for the pain. But the comfort does not ease the pain one little bit. It simply sits beside the bed. I want him to die. That's what I thought today, for a very brief moment, and then spent the rest of the day thinking how horrible it was to have thought that. Laundry, pay the bills, paperwork for the insurance, and the insurance won't pay for the speech synthesizer. Speech is not a medical necessity. What? I'm sorry, Richard, what?
Coffee.
It's hard to speak of our conversations. He's very frustrated with his speech. He writes notes but gets impatient. And yet, when we are close, I don't really talk about that with others because it is the deepest intimacy. Looking in the eyes and both of us knowing at last fully what life is. So we're doing the craziest thing, traveling to Texas. So bizarre. Richard didn't want to go, and then he did, to visit a long-lost cousin, Sandra, who had found him through the internet. They'd visited us the year before. I think he's fearful. I am. But we go ahead. Our son lifts his dad into the wheelchair. I'd fitted Richard with a catheter. Hopefully that will take care of that. Through security, they frisk him in his wheelchair. The attendants maneuver him into his seat. And we had a wonderful time in Houston. They were so good to us. And then on the return, there were delays. I got very confused at the airport, where to take Richard. They directed us to a door that said, no entry.
No. Entry.
He's going. He's going. Go there.
He's going. Going. He's going, and I he's can't
going.
Follow.
He's going.
Can't
he's
follow.
Going.
Can't
he's
follow.
Going. You.
This is what I'm learning. One, I never reach bottom. There's always further to go. Two, it is always too soon to lose someone. 3. I ask God to take him so that he will be free. 4. I ask God to take him so that I will be free. Of it all. 5. I am already a widow. And the hardest lesson, that I will be able to live when he is gone. I will grieve. I will sing in the choir. I will return to amateur acting. I will write an article. I will hear him more clearly.
I love you.
The last months, No real surprises, except that it does appear that a miracle is not scheduled to happen. The miracle is getting through it.
The commode moves next to the bed.
And damn, did I charge the wheelchair battery? I forgot.
Replacing our bed.
To use the lift, I have to replace our double bed with a hospital bed and a twin. We've not slept separately in our 32 years of marriage. Except once during a quarrel. For a couple of hours.
Unable to stand.
Into the hospital.
Decisions.
Resuscitation.
Yeah.
Intubation.
Oh.
He's home again. The boys visit whenever they can. Yesterday he smiled. His right hand is working, but it's starting to curl up. Very strange. Weekends are so exhausting.
Caregivers.
Callbacks, dropouts, car problems.
A specified state allotment of hours.
Social Security. No, not qualified. I am so tired. The speech situation is, it's like our quarrels early in the marriage, the time it takes to get to the meaning. Sometimes I understand words, or just use intuition.
Yeah.
What? You need something?
Yeah.
What do you need? Try it again. Water? Bathroom?
I'm really afraid.
Hey.
Want me to turn on the TV?
I'm really terrified, Jennifer. It's just the most horrible.
Okay, try to focus. Tell me again. You want your writing pad?
I'm feeling so far away. Could you just hold? Please hold me.
I'm sorry, Richard. I can't understand. Is it something you want?
Listen to me, damn it. Just listen.
I'm trying to understand. Talk to me.
Don't you think I hear what I sound like?
He loves me and I love him. But our lives are separate now. He's completely sentient, understands everything, and I believe he has a great wisdom, which I can't hear. He had a bad Monday, couldn't eat or drink, no bowel function. I actually shouted at God. Nobody heard me, I think. Except God, who is pretty understanding about these things. The nurse thinks maybe 2 weeks. I normally deal with life on the cellular level. My canvas is the Petri dish, the microscope. In the biological sciences, we are in the time of the flood, knowledge in a deluge. I read a paper on a protein which deactivates and recycles a glutamate that nerve cells use to send messages and may be deficient in cases of ALS, and so research holds out great hopes. Like that lovely doll I didn't get for Christmas. I wish I could have captured, somehow held on to, the last time he put his arms around me.
The last time.
The funny voicemail tape. His normal voice.
The last time.
Last time he walked.
Last time.
Last time he bounced down the stairs to say hello.
Last time. Last time.
The last play we went to.
Last time. Last time. Last time. Last time.
Our last. Richard is dead. Monday. All his family were here, and friends. The memorial service is Friday. Yes, I will sing. I have never sat with a dying person before. It was fascinating to me as a biologist. The changes of breathing, first harsh, then shallow, up in the throat. His color was good, then became creamy gray. His pulse was 160. He wanted his hand held. The last things he said that I understood were that he was afraid of dying and to get the boys. I spoke to him about our faith and our being together again. And I stroked his face. Then, the moment where he went blue, and ground his teeth and couldn't breathe. And we upped the oxygen and
He became peaceful and went unconscious. He had tried to say something else, but I couldn't understand. I remember the syllables. Maybe someday I'll get it. After he died, the top of his head was hot. I feel him now. The service was beautiful. Lots of food and flowers, and of course, I couldn't help but think how our sons were feeling. Were they okay? I sang without cracking my voice. I've started another journal, documenting what it feels like to have a mate in the spirit world. I don't expect to publish this in a scientific journal, but I have felt him with me every day. Not so much when I'm busy with stuff. I hurt my back, I had to go to the chiropractor. I'm getting back to work full-time and dealing with arrangements and the bills for the arrangements and the arrangements for the bills, bills, bills. I have felt him with me every day. Except about 24 hours right after, when I was just ragged and bleeding. I feel the most intimate touching. It's you. And I have music. Richard owned about 1,000 CDs.
What do you want to listen to?
What do I want to listen to? There's all this music for me to listen.
That was Outside the Dying, written and performed by Conrad Bishop and Elizabeth Fuller, based on the journals of Julie Connoran.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
And before we sign off, what do you do to follow? I guess this isn't exactly in the tradition of entertainment radio, but we'd like to invite you, for a couple of minutes actually, to join us in a meditation. People you've known who have died. If it calls up memories you don't want right now, we'll say goodbye, but do realize that there are quite a number of people out there sharing this moment with all the very diverse feelings we have.
Merrily Lewis, who also died of ALS.
Margaret Like, my mother, leukemia.
Mary Lou Boddy, a longtime friend, cancer.
Frank Pitzer, my grandfather.
Homer Davison, my father, heart failure.
Conrad Wade Bishop, my father, cancer.
Elna Maria Magnuson, my mother.
Elizabeth Pitzer, my grandmother.
Dr. Henry Poncher, the first dead person I ever saw.
Alvina Krauss, acting teacher.
Adam Walks Between Worlds, a bardic singer, gunshots.
Lester Sagan, stepfather, heart attack.
Mary Quick Davison, my grandmother.
Bob Kingston, an actor, AIDS.
Manfred Magnuson, my uncle.
Suzanne Pitzer, my cousin, suicide.
Sue Murray.
John Sinodinos.
Robert Murray.
Ray Stiber, a used car dealer, suicide.
Chris Abbott, plane crash.
Froggy Winters, drowning.
Orilla Downing, cancer.
Kathleen Bogardus, a schoolmate.
George and Dottie Bowers, in a fire.
And many others.
And we thank them for the work of existing and the gifts they have given us.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is a production of The Independent Eye in Sebastopol, California, with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and the California Arts Council, and from the Hitchhikers Guild, which you can join by visiting our website, www.independenteye.org.
Next up, stories about literal hitchhiking, depending on the kindness of strangers. This is Elizabeth Fuller
and Conrad Bishop, and we'd like to finish with a poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins. I remember many years ago reading this poem to our kids, and our young daughter cried bitterly because my mother, her grandmother, was named Margaret. And many years later, as my mother died, my last image of her was as a young child. Spring and fall to a young child. Margaret, are you grieving over Golden Grove on leaving? Leaves like the things of man you with your fresh thoughts care for, can you? Ah, as the heart grows older, it will come to such sights colder by and by, nor spare a sigh though worlds of wanwood leaf meal lie. And yet you will weep and know why. Now, no matter, child, the name, sorrow's springs are the same. Nor mouth had known or mind expressed what heart heard of ghost guessed. It is the blight man was born for. It is Margaret you mourn for.